Little 1975 45 RPM memory from Mr. Elton John there. Please don't sue me, Sir EJ. Besides, I'm cutting it off just as it gets good and your amazing vocal comes in, sir. Anyway, Philadelphia Freedom, rather appropriate starting point to get us started on this recap of episode 7 of The Bachelorette on this latest dispatch of the culture of pop. I'm Jeffrey Rosato. Thank you so much for worldwide webbing us up here, courtesy of Red Abstract Incorporated. And joining me, as always, are my two lovely cohorts in Bachelorette Recapping Crime, Dina and Lisa from both the BeautyBroads.com and the Celebrity Side Dish Podcast. Ladies, will you accept and share this rose?
Well, of course, Jeffrey.
I'm sorry I'm on a budget, but when the advertising budget kicks in, you will each get an individual rose, I promise. So, anyway, girls, it is really starting to get to nitty-gritty time for Jillian and the guys we have left, and I'd forgotten just how much that I enjoy this part of the process, and I haven't really followed the Bachelor or the Bachelorette since the season when we had Byron and Mary winding up together. And I thought this is a really good episode. Guys, before we get started taking on things, taking on the dates individually and the rose ceremony and all that, what did you think?
I thought it was the best episode. As a matter of fact, this whole season, I've heard people criticize that maybe this one isn't exciting and Jillian's maybe too... not as sexy as others, and it's just boring. But
oh, give me a break.
I know you don't agree, but I love this season. It's the best. I've watched several, and this to me is just so emotional and seems more real than the others, maybe. Maybe everybody, Jillian seems more sincere.
Yeah.
And she's like the girl next door. So I'm really digging this season more than any of the others. And this episode was, it was a humdinger, I think.
Well, it definitely lived up to the hype that Chris Harrison pointed out on Twitter. He saw the finished cut, I think it was a week ago today, and said, you know, be ready. It's going to be a bombshell. It's the best episode ever. And boy, he was right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it looks like it's going to get even better. That's fair to say, each week it gets better and better. So I can't wait till next week.
Well, you know, I let in with a little Philadelphia Freedom from Elton John, and that's where this week's show started out, in the city of brotherly love, one of my fave towns. Everybody out there in Philly, hello, hello. The sound of Philadelphia, great soul music, you know, home of the Italian Stallion, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, Rocky Balboa. And what a great sight for what turned out to be a great date. The family was awesome. Reed's family was awesome. She had great rapport with the family, especially his mom and his grandmother. And, oh gosh, you know, to me it was the most natural all-American family of the five dates to me. Guys, what about it? I mean, I thought it was one of my favorite parts of the show.
I really think Reed's family was the most real and the most concerned about Reed's happiness. I think they were really pulling for Jillian and Reed to get together. I think they realized that Reed is, we've discussed before, he's kind of neurotic, you know.
Right, yeah.
And they're like, you know, and the conversation with his father even, you know, he was like, go for it. You know, don't try to protect your heart. Go jump into this full bore if you think you love this girl. And I'm not sure where he's getting this paranoia and neuroticism he has. It's obviously not from his family, because they were very supportive, and I really think Jillian won him over.
I think so, too. And I just feel that Reed is finally starting to relax a little bit, because they just had superb chemistry together during their moments alone. And like I said last time out, I felt this guy was going to be somebody to watch, you know, the dark horse. And, you know, I could easily see this guy in the top two.
I agree with you. And evidently his family, they were surprised when, you know, he was kissing her in front of the entire family. Evidently,
mm-hmm.
He has a hard time showing affection, but he did say he felt uncomfortable.
But it was just so sweet, you know. I mean, it's just amazing how he has just emerged from the pack in the last 3 weeks or so. I mean, we didn't even have any idea who this guy was, and yet, la-di-da, as Annie Hall used to say, here he is, you know, and I'm just really digging it. I think he's a wonderful guy. I love the quirkiness, but I'm also very happy that he's kind of toned it down a little bit and is realizing, my God, I've got the most beautiful girl, you know, in the world that's kind of, you know, got a thing for me, and it's like, you know, I'm just digging it. I love it.
Jeffrey, you're so biased for Jillian. Do
Well, I can't hide. I can't hide. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Do you feel a little jealous when they're kissing your girl there?
You know what? I've always felt that with girls that I've, you know, had crushes on and deep affections for and what have you, if they wind up with a guy I like, more power to them. Jealousy doesn't kick in, as it will with a certain bachelor that we'll talk about a little bit later on down the line. But let's go ahead and go to date number two, Michael and Jillian in Valencia, California. Love that title, or love that city name, rather, Valencia. Let me tell you, Michael, bless his heart, sweet, sweet kid, but he's just too damn hyper. And let me tell y'all something. I need to show this segment to a friend of mine who thinks I'm ADHD, because I think once he sees this, it's kind of like, Jeff, I'm so sorry. Jeff, I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
Compared to Michael, you would be like in a coma, I would think. Mark's a total spaz.
Exactly, and this leads me to a little personal note. You know, I asked another friend of mine, you know, getting a second opinion, you know, and I said, you know, do you think I'm ADHD? And he says, Jeff, the way you remember crap from 1973, there's no way in hell you can be ADHD. So anyway, but enough about that. Let's get back to the matter at hand here. Nice family. I enjoyed it, and I almost got the Rob and Laura Petri dinner party flashbacks, the way everybody was dancing in the living room, you know? It's like, where's Buddy and Sally? You know?
Yeah, you could tell they were a very tight-knit family, a very normal family. And who knew there were two Michaels? Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking, like, are those Mike and Steve twins combined? Do they maybe have a maturity level of a 18-year-old?
I saw that on your Twitter feed the other day. I'm so glad you guys remembered that, because I don't think I have my Twitter notes here in front of me to do some last-minute shenanigans that we won't talk about before we were taping here. But and also, being the other twin doesn't work 99% of the time. I just loved it when Michael got his face shaved and it was all creamy, baby smooth and everything, and Jillian's like, I know it's you. I know it's you.
Yeah, she's like, change clothes. She's so sweet. But, you know, really they didn't look a lot alike. I would say, Stevie Wonder could probably tell them apart.
I'm willing to bet you're right. I'm willing to bet you're right. But let me tell you guys, you know, I don't mean to give this date, I don't mean to shrug it off or anything like that, but I knew the jig was up the way Jilly and Mikey were kissing in the driveway. I mean, it was sweet, but no fire. Agreement?
Yeah, it was kind of more like she was his babysitter, I think, or his big sister, maybe Lisa.
I think it's always been like that, too. I mean, I've never seen anything between them.
Yeah, she always kind of hugs him and pats him on the back. And I was reading, I read so much about the show because I'm so obsessed with it on the internet. And I read that Jillian said that Michael had everything she wanted in a man, but there was no physical or romantic connection, that she feels more protective, and that she would spend a lot of time trying to find him somebody great because he's such a great guy. So
I read that too. I'm not sure of the source, and I apologize for, you know, not finding the source, but that was just very, very sweet. Makes me love her even more. And I mean, Michael, bless his heart. We're not going to go there, but
order.
Restraining order. Security! Hello! Anyway.
Security.
Oh, man. I'm harmless. Anyway, but that's another story. But I do believe that Michael, my God, I mean, this guy could be one of the new kids on the block. I mean, women love this guy. I mean, he's going to find love, and I hope he finds it with somebody that cares about him, and not just because he's been on a television show, but he's a really sweet kid, and I'm going to tip my hat off to him again a little bit later on in the show as we get close to the end of this recap here. But Dayton numero three, Kipton and Jill. And guys, the way they shot the beginning of this segment, it made it look like Kipton was in an episode of The Bachelor. You know, it was like, you know, is he going to give her the final rose? Is he going to propose right now? You know, I thought that was just a little slick, but hey, whatever. But what do you guys think about the, you know, Kipton's one of my favorites, as I think, Lisa, I think he's one of your favorites too. Am I correct?
I agree. Yes, he is, but I don't know that I could fit into his family. I think they're just a little too uppity for me.
Weren't they very sophisticated? I mean, you know, and that's another, you know, let me pay Jillian yet another compliment here. Jillian, I am being sincere if you are listening, but, you know, she has this ability to really adapt to any kind of social circumstance, and that's a quality I admire in people, because these folks were just a little, you know, they were a little too high on the uppity scale even for me. I love the location of this date. Love Jillian's dress. It was my favorite outfit. Was that kind of a sundress? Look at me. I am just, what is wrong with me today, guys? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm really
stressed. I have no recollection of what she was wearing.
I just, but she had on this little, it looked like a strapless dress with a jacket over it. And, God, maybe I'm going to be.
Next week it's the dress.
Have you ever thought of being a fashion designer if this showbiz thing didn't work out?
You know, I'm wondering about that. I'm wondering if I might be setting myself up to be Mr. Blackwell's replacement, you know? But I am so sorry, and it's just anyway, enough about that. But
I love being a man, Jeffrey. That's very appealing, actually, that you can appreciate that.
Well, I notice things like that. We were talking about the earrings last week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I notice things like that. You know, it's just it's a beautiful thing, you know.
But
it's a beautiful thing. Moving along is anyway.
To touch a little bit on Kipton's family, the lasagna test, the wine test, I mean, I would have said, you know what, give me a beer and a hot dog.
I mean, well, that's her thing. I'm surprised she didn't ask for that, you know. But at least they had the hot tub for her, you know.
She really stood up to her. I love the way she said, okay, now what do you want to know? Okay, well, this is this. And I think in the end she really won Mom over. You know, I really think she did.
Let's talk about, we got to talk about Kipton's mom. And this is another cool thing about the behind-the-scenes people that work on shows like this. I'm sure they do a lot of pre-interviews and stuff like that, and they're looking for certain kind of quirks or characteristics, and it's like, you know, I can just see, you know, the producers after they interviewed Kipton's mom. It's like, we have a winner. We have a winner. You know? And, but I got to tell you, even though I like openness and communication in moments like the Kipton's mom and Jillian had, I thought maybe she was being just a twee bit too inquisitive of Jillian, but it made for a good segment. But what about you guys? What'd you think?
I could not marry into that family. I don't care how good looking Kip is. That would just, it's going to be magnified when she's truly her mother-in-law. It's going to be a nightmare. Maybe it's my own insecurities, but, you know, Jillian even said, I'm afraid they're going to think I'm a hillbilly, and Lisa and I want to know, being here from the Hollywood Hills, what's wrong with a hillbilly?
Not a damn thing wrong with a hillbilly, man. Southern-born and Southern-bred.
His sister was the same as his mother.
Yeah, it was kind of a theme there with that family, but you're right, they could be exploiting that. Okay, now you all are the rich, snobby family. Go for it, you know.
Exactly. And speaking of which, could Kipton's mom have been more uncomfortable trying to play the nosy mom in those cutaway shots during the hot tub thing?
I don't
think they were real reactions, but I could be wrong, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. She was, like, tiptoeing away when she saw him. Yeah, she's not an actress, that's for sure.
I mean, she's no Gladys Kravitz, you know. But anyway, moving along to Carmel, California, home of one-time mayor Mr. Clint Eastwood. A little trivia there for you right there. Jesse and Jillian. And Jesse, man, I didn't really see this one coming, but especially because of the circumstances that would later happen in the episode that we'll get into in just a bit here. But Jesse was making the same kind of mistake that Jake made last week, just a twee bit reserved for my liking during this gathering. Guys, what about that?
Yeah, the Jesse, all in all, and I think about it's hard to even remember the Jesse family in the house, except for the wine. Like you say, we love the wine, but
right.
He's very reserved. Even around his family, I think he even was even more introverted and protective. And the brother, we got to talk about the brother. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, Jacob, whom we remember fondly as one of the Allman brothers, actually looks like a cross between Sawyer on Lost and Greg Allman, you know, just
yeah.
Really.
You know, a chunky Sawyer.
A chunky Sawyer. Well, you know, whatever floats your boat. But I, you know, cute family. I love the music. You know, me being the musical guy, you know, love the cute little living room jam. And I got to tell you, Jillian has got a part waiting for her as Veronica if Hollywood ever does that Archie's movie. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, the tambourine move. I loved it when she said, boy, Jesse was really handy with those drums, and about the time the stick flies across the air.
That's right. Oh, well, but that was fun. I could see myself hanging out with this kind of family and having a good time. But Jesse opened up in the wine cellar, you know, great move. But like Jake last week, did he go far enough? Well, for those of you who don't know, stay tuned to the rest of this here program. Mm-hmm. But a quick little trivia note for you guys. I don't know if you know this yet, but do you know that during the process of traveling to and fro Carmel, Jillian had her jewelry stolen?
I did hear that, and, you know, it makes me think, where was she? Who could have done it? Was it somebody breaking into a hotel? Was it crew? It's really quite a mystery, Jeffrey, and I thought of you, and I thought, if you want to get into Jillian's heart there, you may need to get on QVC and order up some Dominique.
I will make a note of that. But that is just one of the tidbits you can find on host Christopher Harrison's blog. Chris, one of my favorite TV personalities and seems like a super nice guy. And you can find his blog on Entertainment Weekly's website and the Pop Watch section at EW.com. He suggested that if anybody had any Christmas ideas, you know, I think we ought to take up a little collection, guys. What do you think? A little something special from the beauty broads and the culture of pop.
Hopefully she's going to have a big old engagement ring at the end of this, but I'm beginning to wonder.
I'm beginning to wonder, too. And speaking of wonders of the world, date number 5. Yes, I'm talking about Wes and Jillian. Did I just say that?
Oh,
I couldn't have said that. No, I didn't. But wow. Jillian, oh, my God. It was like she became Michael all of a sudden, you know, all giddy at seeing Wes with a band and doing a little spaz dance of her own, you know. And it's like, I just don't get it, girls. I just don't get it, because Wes is not Garth Brooks by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't know. Like I said a minute ago, whatever floats your boat. But I have to admit, I will give Wes a little bit of credit. The snippet of the performance with the band wasn't bad. You know, it's kind of like a cross between a country singer I liked a few years ago that was big at the time named Wade Hayes and Dwight Yoakam, which everybody's heard of. But, oh, man, that acoustic ditty. Is that the ditty that he wrote for her, supposedly?
Oh, yeah, Love Don't Come Easy or something like that. We should all know it by now. But I'll have to say, he's talented musically, but when I watch him, I just think about what a jerk. At least the jerk he's coming across to be. Maybe he's really not, but they're certainly making him look that way.
Well, you know, this leads to the big dramatic moment, or one of the big dramatic moments of this episode, and that's Jake coming back into the picture. And, guys, you know, I haven't been following The Bachelorette or The Bachelor religiously since the Byron and Mary season. And is this the first time in the show's history that someone's come back in this fashion?
It's the first time I've ever seen it. I know Lisa, I think I've drugged Lisa into this. This is her first time watching any of these types of shows. But
right.
I think it's history. I think it's groundbreaking. And I wonder if it was truly his idea or if it's good television. I really think he is a little obsessed and thought of it on his own.
Talk about a revelation, down to naming the girlfriend's name, and I swear to God, I could just feel the burn in Jillian's throat, the burn in her nose, because I've been there, you know, we've all been there. And, oh man, let me tell you guys something. Wes's comment to Jake, oh man, a character, it just made me want to go, my fist, your face, damn it, you know.
What?
I can't believe he did that, you know. It just pissed me off so bad. Wes, apologies, you know, it's probably the producers exaggerating this, but I don't know. Maybe they did this to prove a point about the characters of certain guys. I don't know. Dina, you and I were talking about this over email over the last couple of nights, and I said, is it possible Jake might have misheard him, you know? I mean, and boy, your response was just like, what have you turned into, one of the pod people, an invasion of the body snatchers or something? What's wrong with you, you know?
Yeah, I was worried you had been mesmerized too there, Jeffrey.
I mean, and then the next morning, you know, got a good night's sleep, ate my cereal, you know, my Raisin Bran and all that, my orange juice, and then I thought about it, and it was like, my God, you know, using this show to better his career and not even thinking about the matter at hand, the matter why you should be there is to get to know somebody under these crazy circumstances and see if there's any chemistry there, not to promote your freaking music career.
Yeah, I think Lisa and I kind of hoped maybe that Jillian would look to Jake and say, you're the good guy, he's the bad guy, and I choose you, Jake. I want you to come back. Were you kind of thinking that would happen, Lisa?
That's what I thought, but I just can't wait for the cat fight between Laurel and Jillian.
And Jillian. Yeah, once you actually hear the name of the other woman, it really makes it real. You know, it really hits home, and I think that's where the tears came from.
And, you know, they were having to bleep her out several times, you know. She suddenly took off the Miss Congeniality banner at the beauty pageant and just really got down and, well, not dirty, of course, because, you know, oh, she was hurt. Oh, my God. I mean, we were all hurting for her, you know, all over the country, you know. It just really, and how they could, by the way, getting back to Jake real quick, I do believe that one reason why they did this, guys, you know, I'm always thinking about what can we do to future seasons, and I do believe it would not surprise me at all if ABC puts out a press release in the next few weeks saying that Jake is going to be the next Bachelor. Maybe not for this coming season, but say the winter season. I mean, there's no, I'd be very surprised if it didn't happen.
I'll go one step further and say it will be this season, because they want, you know, people forget people so quickly. And
right.
The reason why I was so interested in The Bachelorette was because of Jillian and the pain she went through with Jason and The Bachelor. You get connected to these people. They've already got, you already know them. You already care about them. So I think you will, and I think women will come out in droves, because despite what Jake says, I like a perfect guy. I like the good guy.
I didn't like him crying over the balcony.
Well, they always have to have the crying over the balcony scene every season. They do that. Jason,
but you know, but here's something interesting about that. You know, the camera was very far away, and I think if he was really, really losing it, they wouldn't have resisted getting up close to him. But I wonder maybe if he told him to back off or something like that. It looked like he was crying, but it wasn't really that. It wasn't like, oh, gosh, Jason Mesnick kind of crying, you know. Like Betty Davis or something. So it was nothing that bad. I really hurt for him, and I like Jake. I really do. He seems like a class guy, and my God, if he can sing, look out, Adam Lambert, you know?
Because that would be his pilot's uniform.
Oh yeah.
He certainly did. You know, I'm not. I'm happily heterosexual, but he looked. He had it going on in that pilot's outfit. I'll put it
I
that.
Agree.
But how chilly.
He will be the next Bachelorette. Let's just all say it now. He'll be the next Bachelorette.
This is a Culture of Pop exclusive. Jake will be the next Bachelor. High definition video at 11. Okay, but how Jillian and Wes managed to proceed with their plans, I don't know, but man, talk about a dull as dishwater date, although Wes's sister's kind of cute, but how does one go on a date? I'm sorry, Jillian, but how does one go on a date after what transpired?
When she said that she was going to go with her gut, and then her gut meant she was going to go meet Wes's family, I almost turned off the television. I was almost like, girl, you're just hopeless. Whatever happens to you, happens to you. And it was very lackluster. I thought it was all about Wes and how everybody's jealous of Wes and everybody does him wrong because they want to be him. It was nothing about really getting to know Jillian, unless they just edited that part out.
Who knows? You know, God, I would love to see the outtakes of this show. Oh, I'd love to see the outtakes of this program. But I just don't think the chemistry was there. I mean, it's a funny thing how people react to people who are musicians and actors and stuff like that. You got to get behind the facade. You know, you got to go into the people. You got to go in deeper. And I don't think Jillian's done that yet. And it's going to be very, very interesting in the next couple of weeks to see how their relationship develops, because on the surface, yeah, he's a cool kind of country musician kind of guy, but on the inside, just, I'll tell you what, I will definitely turn off the TV on Monday, July 27th, if she winds up giving him the final rose. I'll put it that way.
Absolutely. If she does, she gets what she deserves.
Yeah, and I pray to God it doesn't happen, and you know, and I'm just saying this because I care about her. I think the whole nation cares about her. I mean, this was the number one show on Monday night, by the way. And something interesting, something I just thought of at the top of my head, the show actually increased in audience percentage half hour by half hour, and that's a rare, rare thing. So ABC's got them a very good season of the show going right now. Okay. Oh boy, big revelation number two, or as Dina said to me in an email, Ed! And about 50,000 exclamation points following the word Ed. Haven't been able to stop thinking about you, and I'm going, surprise, dude. Why do you think I'm doing this show, folks? The way some of these guys have been screwing up, I might have an honest to God chance here, you know? Of course, I'm just kidding here, I think. But anyway, oh man, girls, what about Eddie coming back, huh?
Okay, this is Dina, and if you listen to a past Culture of Pop episode, I believe I predicted that our little Eddie would be back. I believe.
Yes, you did. But you nailed it.
Lisa, because Ed was my choice from the first episode. Kipton was her choice. We're neck and neck now with Ed and Kipton. And Ed, I just melted when he came back. And I don't think Jillian knew it. I think it was truly a surprise, because she kind of looked like a wreck. I mean, her hair was sticking out. Her lipstick was off. I think maybe this was filmed after the crying scene with Wes. I'm not sure. But I think she was like, oh, crap, it's Ed. And I look like this.
No, she still looked great. She still looked great. So anyway.
All right, Jeffrey.
I know. Settle down, Beavis. Anyway, okay.
But I called it, and it was like a romantic scene from a movie. It was just, I melted. It's great television.
Lisa, what about you?
I think she needs to meet Ed's family. They may be psychotic. I don't know how it's going to go, but if she chooses Ed, it may turn out to be a huge mistake.
It's true. Families do tell you a lot. I did change my mind about
Kipton.
Yeah, about Kipton. And I changed my mind about Michael a little bit, even after seeing his family and all that. So it makes a big difference meeting the family, I think.
It certainly does, and that's why I enjoy this process of the show. I think also when you're at home, you're alternately, you know, you got these little mom, dad moments, but also it's the comforts of home, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and even though you got the cameras and the lights and everything like that, it's just your home, and you kind of loosen up a little bit. Or some people do effectively, like Reed, you know, great date, my favorite of all the dates. And then you have situations like, you know, bless his heart, Michael, things just, it didn't gel. But I was very happy myself to see Ed back. He's one of my favorites, and I would love it if Reed and Ed were in the top two to end the show, because I would not be unhappy. You know, I would just be so thrilled if one of those guys gets the final rose, but we'll just have to wait and see. And speaking of roses, rose ceremony time. Oh gosh, here I go again. Jillian in that gown, I swear to ever-loving God, literally took my breath away to the point that I would like to, at this time, invite Jillian to be my date for my 30th annual high school reunion, my 30th anniversary high school reunion, if it's okay with her intended at the end of the show. So anyway. But anyway.
That would be great. That would be great.
And Jillian, if you're listening, you know, the limo, everything, the champagne, you know, I'll bring my guitar, you know, and I'll send you a real song. I will make it happen. But anyway, getting back to the matter at hand here. So loved her. You know, we were talking about Ed and, you know, her wanting to meet Ed's family, and due to the production process that we're in right now behind the scenes, it's just not going to happen. And the disappointment of not being able to meet Ed's family at this point of the show just really affected her, and it was just another yet endearing moment that makes us all love this girl even more, despite the, you know, the West moments and all that.
Where was Ed from?
Chicago.
Oh, one of my fave towns. I love it. Yeah.
And that's really pivotal in this season, because Jillian has stated she lives in another country, for goodness sakes, and she stated, I want to relocate. I want to be taken care of for a while. I'm going to quit my job. So she's got to think about the city and the family, because that's where her Christmas, all her holidays are going to be spent with this family. So I can see her reservations as to whether or not she would give Ed a rose.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. I'm glad you talked about that, Dina, because, you know, do you think that possibly Ed lost some valuable ground by walking out on her the way he did, and now he's got a, well, you know, we don't want her to, want him to play kiss butt or anything like that, but just, what's your feelings about that, girls?
I think he's got a lot to make up for. He really needs to stand out. He really needs to show her affection, because there's always going to be that thing in the back of her mind. He chose his job over me. How do I know if the going gets rough again, he's not going to do something like that again in our future? So I think he's really going to have to step it up a notch. Don't you agree, Lisa?
I agree.
Yeah. He's one sexy hunk of man, though, so he has that going for him.
I mean, he certainly does. He certainly does. I have to say, I think he's got killer hair, you know, but... props, Eddie, if you're listening out there. Props, dude. But anyway, rose ceremony time, and oh my God, classic rose ceremony moments. Michael's face when he saw Ed. I think, you know, I could almost hear that song by Styx playing in my head. You know, the jig is up, the news is out, they finally found me. Well, they finally found Ed in this case, and I think he just knew the jig was up. I mean, geez, I just hurt for him.
Yeah, I think all the guys were thinking, uh-oh, we got Ed back. It's, you know, the stakes are higher now. I'm sure they felt a little resentful towards him. I didn't really notice if they were glaring at him. I can't really remember if there was some resentment there, but it changed the whole dynamic of the rose ceremony for sure.
Lisa?
She did look good in that dress, though.
It's like I could almost hear that song by Rhett Smith playing in my head. You're taking my breath away. Anyway.
I love that song.
Is that not a great song? You know, Rhett Smith, we remember you. Anyway, but anyhow, cutting to the chase, I mean, Ed, man, even after he came back, you know, I would have hated it, but it would have been almost incredible if she sent him packing after leaving her hanging. So I was thinking, you know, my God, Ed, he came back, he thinks he's all bad and everything's groovy and everything, and, you know, she could have not given him a rose. So I hope he realizes how lucky he is.
I do too.
Exactly, but just the unlucky souls that did not get a rose this time. Jesse, yeah, could kind of see that one coming, but what can you do? But Michael, bless his heart, what a class act, you know, praising Jillian and not being a jerk on the air and just handling himself with dignity. I just, you know, I really thought that was just a beyond sweet moment.
Yeah, in the end, Michael kind of won me over, and I kind of feel bad for all my spaz comments because I had him pegged wrong. I thought he was an immature kind of frat guy who was into one-night stands, and after seeing his family and his brother's conversation about how they wanted to marry young, they wanted to build a family, I felt kind of bad about that. It just goes to show you cannot judge people too soon, you know? Jillian's got, what, 2 months to make this decision. I really don't envy her.
Neither do I. What's your thoughts on the guys we have left, and do you guys want to go ahead and give your predictions since we're getting kind of close to the end of the July, and we have the big finale coming up on Monday, July 27th, which we'll talk more about in just a second, but what's your thoughts on who's left, and we got to talk about Wes. I mean, were you just sneering and throwing your popcorn at the TV, too? I mean, what about it? I mean, you know. I hate to keep dissing Wes, but just it's the way he's coming off, you know?
Yeah, let's keep dissing him. Go ahead, Lisa, diss him.
I just don't understand what she sees in him. I mean, look at all the drama that he has brought to her, and there was nothing about his family that was worth mentioning. I just don't see what she likes about him. I don't get it.
There's definitely a chemistry there that we're not witnessing because she gets very giddy when he's around. He just doesn't do it for me.
He doesn't do anything for me.
It's bizarre. You know, she just becomes a different person around this guy, and it bothers me, you know. And I have to admit, yeah, that's where you get a jealousy here, but I don't think I'm the only one. But I hope she doesn't make the mistake that some people have made in reality over, you know. I've seen people like this in real life, you guys, you know, that choose the bad boy. I've seen guys choose the bad girl, and it usually ends up in, you know, as Tammy Wynette used to say, D-I-V-O-R-C-A, you know, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen to her, and, you know, I'll be nice. I don't want it to happen to him. But what about predictions for the top two? You guys know mine right now. You guys know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Reed, and I'm rooting for Ed the Head, Dina, as you're so fond of calling him, you know, the head is back. But what about y'all? What's your thoughts at this point of the process?
I would be happy with either of those, Ed or Reed. However, since I chose Kipton, I would be okay with Kipton, too.
Yeah, Lisa and I are very competitive. We have the bets that we place, and I'm not sure what the wager is on this. But so she has Kipton for that. But I think after seeing these hometown dates, even without seeing Ed, I mean, Ed's a given for me. Reed, oh, I don't know. Reed is just so neurotic, but he's very sweet, very real. I would have kept Jesse, I think, and if I get to start fresh, I give the rose to Jesse, and I end up with Jesse and Ed. But I predict nobody. That's my prediction, Jeffrey. She's
really? Because we talked about this, and refresh everybody that may be just hopping on to the culture of pop bandwagon for the first time. You talked about Jillian possibly not winding up with anybody. Refresh our memory about your thoughts on that.
I think she's going to end up as the top two are going to be Ed and Reed, and then she's going to say, but you know what, I'm not going to accept a proposal. I need to get to know Ed. I haven't met his family. I think he's very promising, but I want to take my time, and I'm happy with the way things are. She has made comments like, I'm in a good place right now, and to me that's what you say when you're alone. I'm in a good place right now. So that's my prediction. I kind of hate it because it would be nice and dramatic, you know, for her to go off into the sunset with somebody with a ring on, but for her own good, and I think all three of us really truly care about Jillian, you know, the image that we know, and I'd like to see her get to know Ed better myself.
You know, that's the way it's turned out on a couple of these shows, you know, in early seasons. I can't recall offhand, but we've had a couple of instances where I want to get to know you better. I don't want to give you a ring just yet. And I admire that because, you know, you can't really find love in 2 months. I mean, it's a gradual process, you know. Mm-hmm. You want to take your time with it and not rush it like a 78 RPM record, you know. Mm-hmm. You just got to, you know, get to know the family. And, you know, there may be some certain deals that it's like, oh, I didn't know this about this person. I didn't know he was a serial killer. So, I mean, things like that can happen, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen with any of these guys. I mean, with the exception of one person, I think all of these guys are cool in their own way. But that leads me to, want to give a little plug to ABC here. If you haven't watched it yet and you want to get into the program, The Bachelorette airs every Monday night at 8 Eastern and Pacific, 7 Central on ABC. And the show is heading into the home stretch. Regular episodes will be airing through July 13th and on Monday, July 21st, I think. The men tell all, boy, girls, that's going to be a keeper right there. I can tell you right now, sight unseen.
Absolutely. I love those episodes. They're so, I'm going to say so catty, but with guys, I guess they get doggy, maybe. I don't know.
Doggy sounds right, yeah. I'll take that. And, of course, the big finale, Monday night, July 27th on ABC, once again, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 7 Central. And the night after, this is special, you're going to want to mark this down on your calendar, The Bachelorette, after the final rose, will be Tuesday night at a special time. This is going to be at 10 Eastern and 9 Central, so mark that on your calendars. And ladies, next week we're headed to Spain. Woohoo!
Woohoo, España!
Yeah, I have to get my maracas and castanets out. And Jillian, you just bring along your tambourine, honey. You play that quite well. Girls, I love you. This has been great. Thanks for holding up with the, bearing with me through the technical problems before we started here. And please, once again, tell folks about your website and your podcast, please. I just love it.
You can find us at www.beautybroads.com. You see our faces there. Just click on our face. You can read our blog and listen to our podcast, or you can go to iTunes, and it's Celebrity Side Dish Podcast with Dina and Lisa.
And of course, you know, you can hear Dina and Lisa in the weeks to come here at www.thedvdmarquee.com, which I host a program about home video, and trust me, folks, I swear to God, that program is coming back. We're just using this particular website to kind of sneak preview the culture of pop before it gets its own website and its own podcast feed. But I do a home video podcast here, and the show that you've been hearing is The Culture of Pop, in which we talk about everything pop culture related, things close to my heart and yours. So if you enjoy it, if you're digging it, tell your friends about it. Go to my website at thedvdmarquee.com and click on the RSS and iTunes banners, and you will be good to go forever. Girls, I love you. Have a great week, and I will talk to you again next week, same time, same station.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Bye, girls. Good harmony. The harmony's getting a lot better. Week by week, we're getting a lot better. Anyway, for The Culture of Pop and my friends at Red Abstract Incorporated, I'm Jeffrey Rosato. And until we meet again, amigos, and Jillian, call me.
Yes, I do.